going back to these fundamentals is always important, because during these times where I am not as busy, I want to focus on working on our systems to figure out, okay, how are we presenting treatment?
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. I hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are. Super pumped to jump into this episode. Today, we're going to talk about what do we do when schedule falls apart, we're not as busy, we're going through what feels like a downtime. How do we maximize that stuff? So I'm going to give you some good practical ideas, real time, to do that. With it, before we get started, if you haven't joined the app, please go download the app, the 3D Dentist app on the App Store, on the Android Play Store, wherever you can download apps, it's there. And yeah, great community where we post lots of content. And then check out the Growth Club, right? The Growth Club is something we're rolling out. If you haven't heard about Growth Club, it's essentially our buying/study club. One of the cool things about Growth Club I don't think I mentioned is the live surgeries and live procedures content, right? So last Tuesday, I did a dual arch hybrid with Neodent, digital workflow, all in the app. This coming Tuesday, I'm going to do a single implant number 29 and 8 veneers on the anterior. So they are like constantly cool stuff going on the app. Plus, there's the buyer's club. So you're getting Neodent implants for $160 an implant, Candid Pro cases for $1029, and other awesome deals. So check out the Growth Club just go on our app and ask about it. You'll see tons of stuff. So let's jump into it today, though. So today, this kind of is top of mind. And typically, like, obviously, what you probably see most of the time from my podcast is that a lot of it's day in life stuff that we're going to on a day in and out basis. And how do we try to, you know, maximize our success to grow and have fun and help people and provide clinical excellence? That's kind of the gist of it, right? And this week specifically, we're seeing we're not as busy, open holes on the schedule. And this is stressful, right? This is stressful to all of us, especially when you're used to being booked out a lot, like some of you are. When you start noticing holes in hygiene, holes in the doctor's schedule, you know, that can start to creep up a little bit of stress or anxiety. And the challenge with that is that when that happens, it almost sends you back into that initial sort of survival mode, which isn't a great place to be, because that's where you typically don't operate from abundance. You operate with more of a scarcity mindset, and I don't think you make the best decisions. Now, so we're experiencing this right now. And then, so the first thing I always step back and look at is I want to say, okay, why do we think this is happening? Like, what is the source of the problem? And so to me, it's okay. I think about new patients coming in through three places, right? We talk about a lot of this on the podcast. New patients coming in through hygiene. So are my patients in hygiene, are there holes in hygiene? Like, is this just general new patient flow? When do we see that down? You know, I see that a lot of times at like school transition year, right? Well, that's right now. A lot of things are going on in people's lives. There's a lot of moving parts. Kids are going from school to summer. That transition is typically more challenging. Same thing when kids start back in school. Holidays. Like, these are sometimes where we will naturally notice downturn in the hygiene schedule. So I don't want to necessarily totally freak out about that, but then it is something to kind of consider. The next one is like new patients on the consult side. Like, am I doing marketing? Is marketing not working? How am I following up with leads? Are those down? What does that look like? And then the third one, obviously, is then the doctor schedule, like treatment schedule. What is our follow-up protocol? And a lot of times, like, you know, again, I think the natural tendency is to want to push the panic button. In my opinion, this is a great opportunity to then look at the internal systems, see where your blind spots are, and leverage it to be better. So I come in today, this morning, and I notice that I've got three associates that are not doing dentistry. Very rarely can I get them all together to have a conversation. And I was like, oh, wow, well, this is convenient, but also not great. And I started looking at the schedule. And so I was like, okay, we've got more holes than I'd like. So how do we assess this? Well, you know, the first thing I did was I went up, I kind of looked up front and I was like, okay, well, this would make some sense, right? We've got Aubrey on maternity leave, my director of operations. She went on a week, she had her baby last week, so she's officially on maternity leave. We have another front office person that's been on maternity leave for almost a month now. So now I'm down two front office people. And then within the last week, I've had two other front office people be out. Vacation, sick, whatever. So that means that this whole practice has essentially two/three people that are intaking and dealing with all the administrative tasks. My main treatment coordinator, who's now taking on a lot more of just the overall operations tasks. And so very quickly, it's like, well, this would make a lot of sense. And so it's the first thing I always want to do is assess, like, are there things happening? Let's say none of that was the case and that my full team is here. Well, then I look kind of go down that path and start to figure out, okay, what do we need to do things differently? And a lot of times it's about giving people clarity. So that's really what I did today. So I said, okay, let's come up with a plan. Front office two, let's have you guys focus on the hygiene side. And really what this has shown us is that we lack a good follow-up protocol in our general dentistry practice. And I give my associates a lot of credit because they will let me know sometimes things that are where balls are getting dropped. And so I get a message from Amber this morning and Amber's like, hey, I noticed that we had a patient call and cancel. They got put on the unscheduled list, but there's no task to follow up with this person. There's nothing. They canceled for some reason, didn't know when to reschedule, and then now they're just in unscheduled list purgatory. And like, I don't think that's a great system. And so to me, I got to say, okay, when this happens, when people call and cancel, how do we get them to a treatment coordinator, to the treatment coordinator's book of business, where they feel like they have a good hold and understanding on these patients? And then we just move softwares, right? Now we're using VoiceStack, which is a AI-driven phone answering service that allows us to record all our phone calls and then provide AI transcripts and summaries that we could copy and paste into the notes. This should be pretty helpful so that when, say, Sydney, my treatment coordinator, is trying to follow up with patients, they should have a list of these patients and then they should have summaries of where these patients are at. Where was the last phone call that landed? And then I've got to have some way of them following up and tracking with this. So that's kind of what I did this morning. Was I kind of sat down and said, okay, let's have a conversation about what our current protocol is. How do we improve this protocol? Let's make sure that these patients are getting tasked to Sydney so that she could create a book of business as a treatment coordinator, follow up with patients when the schedule becomes light. Then meanwhile, the messaging has to change to the rest of the team is that, hey, maybe normally when you're op, when you have time off, like you're not busy, you clean your op. Maybe you do X, Y, or Z task. Right now, I just want to make sure we're answering the phone. Like, I think the Sullivan Dental Partners over the past 30 days is struggling to meet the demand of the phone calls and just get in touch with people to get them on the schedule, get their questions answered, call patients back that we missed, call leads for the second, for the third, for the fourth time. Like, that is kind of the natural, like, hustle that has to take place that I think we forget. And so, you know, I look at like, well, every missed call that was a new patient, I should be, you know, going to look at. Now, here's kind of another thing that I learned kind of going through this process of getting curious, right? And to me, that is like, has to be a theme of the moment, is we always have to look at how do we get curious. So I also went up front and I asked one of my team members, I said, hey, I know we're a little short up here right now, trying to get through this moment. How do we deal with going back through missed calls? What's your strategy? And what she said was, she said, I copy and paste the phone number into our PMS, and then I search the name to see if a name pops up. That way I kind of know who the missed call is from. And she goes, if I know who the patient is, then I call them back first. And I was like, wait a second. I was like, well, that doesn't seem like a great strategy. I was like, well, it's a strategy though, nonetheless. So I can appreciate the strategy, right? But then she said, so I said, well, when do you follow up with the new patient? She was like, well, those phone calls typically take longer, so I usually save those till the end. And then obviously, if you're listening to this and you listened before, like, you would see my, like, the red lights going off, the fire in my head going up of like, well, you realize that one new patient could be the equivalent of like five or six phone calls, because that the value, you know, potential value of that patient based off what they want. Not to mention I'm paying 25, 30 grand a month to make the phone ring for new patient consults for people interested in really, truly changing and doing comprehensive dentistry. I'm not trying to neglect the patients that are here. I just know those people will call back. The one that finally picked up the phone because they've been nervous about calling and called and we didn't answer, they may not call back. So part of that curiousness of asking, hey, what are you doing? How are you doing it? Is really important that you don't just jump into this is what I want you to do because, or make assumptions, because I am curious what's happening because it gives me insight into maybe why things are the way they are. I can't just go hire people at will when someone, you know, goes on maternity leave. So I have to figure out how do we deal with this dip in economy, my own team, vacation, whatever it is. How do we then maximize our success during those dips? We all know that they're going to come. The second thing that I do is I typically look to my doctors and I say, hey, this is the opportunity for us to leverage growing in technology, growing in design, clinically leveling up, working with your assistants, and then getting your assistants to look at maybe following up with some of your patients, who's ready for treatment, who's not ready for treatment, organizing your photography, building your brand. Another thing this morning I did was, you know, we're trying to move into virtual consults. So I filmed like the virtual consult video that will showcase on our Instagram and socials that they will watch and then be able to click on the link to know what to do. So it's like trying to maximize, trying to be productive when I'm not necessarily with a handpiece. Like that mentality is very, very important, I think, to ultimately your success. And then we have to understand that it's part of a natural ebb and flow. So I want to have built-in things to do so that when things do ramp back up, I've improved my systems to maybe mitigate the next down slump, the next downturn in the economy, et cetera, what that is. Now, kind of going back to this idea of, well, what if you didn't have those problems and you still had issues? That's when I go back to the fundamentals. And the fundamentals for us, right, are how do we maximize awareness with our patients? Are we spending adequate time in our hygiene checks? You know, one thing we've really been diligent about this year is recording hygiene handoffs, doctor treatment plans, consults, so that internally we can then review them and see where we discussed things well, where we didn't discuss things well, where we confused the patient. That's been very, very helpful. You know, I still think that we struggle with maximizing awareness on what we can do. And then I think even probably more so, once you start to kind of get over that hump, the two areas of focus that I noticed that we are losing out on opportunity are going to be the communication into getting someone to the financial menu. And so like when I review trackers of some of the doctors we work with in our mastermind programs, which is like their numbers and kind of their different data that we analyze, one of the things that we're tracking is the amount of applications and third-party financing that they're doing, the amount of financing that's getting done, and the overall percentage of collections that was financed that month. I know that if someone is doing less than $10,000, less than 2-3%, less than 5% of financing, and look, this is easy data for you guys to look at. If you're in Mastermind, go look at your tracker. If you're not, like, just look at, okay, in March, we did this amount of money. We did this amount of much in financing, and what's that percentage? If it's lower than 5%, 10%, there's a lot of room for improvement here. You know, healthy practices that I see run on a 20 to 30% margin each month on overall financing. And it makes sense because dentistry is expensive. So if I'm not seeing those numbers go up and maintain at that space, then I know that there's a systematic issue in the way that I'm presenting treatment and giving patients the options to pay in monthly payments. And then what I'll see a lot of times, we'll see these bumps in months where they're like, oh, 15%, 12%, 25,000, 30,000, 15,000. And what I know is that these are typically not systemic changes. These are typically, I got lucky. I had a one patient that walked in, they had 40 grand, 30 grand, 20 grand. And they're like, I don't have the money. And we applied for financing. That's good, but that's not consistent base level growth that's sustainable. That's what I'm really focused in. And so going back to these fundamentals is always important because during these times where I am not as busy, I want to focus on working on our systems to figure out, okay, how are we presenting treatment? And I think too often as the doctor, what we're not doing well is we don't tie a bow on the conversation. We talk about dentistry and hygiene. We leave the hygienist kind of in limbo land, like, yeah, this is what we should do. And then we don't connect that dots of, hey, Mrs. Jones, sounds like this is a good plan for you. Do you agree with the plan? Are you ready to move forward with this plan? The question should be, or the follow-up should be from them most likely, yeah, I just wanted to figure out how much it is. Like, what am I paying for? I'm interested. I trust the plan. What's it cost? At that point, it should be great question. We're going to get you to so-and-so, and they're going to walk you through this menu. And then what I don't think we do well enough is us as the doctors or the leaders in the practice are not following up with that process to see how it's carried out. Is this menu of options being presented? Are we offering financing to every patient? Are we influentially communicating to do fewer well-planned visits? To contract the amount of dentistry we're doing in one visit and not do this over three visits? Does my schedule have the availability to do it? I've heard offices where they have to break up treatment, maybe 3 hours of the treatment, but they have to break it up into three individual hour appointments because they just don't have the availability. That's like self-sabotage. But we aren't following up with that process. So if you're not, if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I haven't listen to my treatment coordinators deliver treatment. I haven't followed up with that process. It's happening at the front desk. We're not seeing a lot of financing happening. My schedule is still full with rat race dentistry. If these are the things you're seeing, there's something systemically wrong with the fundamentals that needs to be changed or tweaked. And most likely it's the hard work of having to sit in on those conversations, sit behind the door on those conversations, but see what's actually happening and not just trust that, oh, I told them this, we practiced at a team meeting, and then I sent them on their way. Like, that's just not going to be successful. You got to get curious. If you haven't sat up front for half a day, at least an hour, and watched how your front office operates, answers the phone, answers people when they check in, it will be unfortunately uncomfortably helpful. It's the inconvenient training that we often talk about. So when the storm kind of comes, when we slow down, we're not as busy as we would like to be, don't hit the panic button. Don't lose that abundance mindset. But let's be proactive about looking internally about why we do feel this happening. How are we working to improve our fundamentals? And then what things can I do that maybe I have been on the back burner? Maybe it's getting those signs up, those digital billboards in your operatories that have before and afters. Maybe it's organizing your before and afters. Like this kind of time, like this week or these days of less busy can be a trampoline or platform to launch off into the next section of super success. And we need these days, I would argue, but it's not to hit the panic button. It's to continue to refine and optimize the way in which we do things. So don't lose the line. Hang in there when you have these moments. If you're super busy, good for you. Don't still keep some Swiss cheese in your schedule. Don't allow the busyness of success to hold you back from the next level of success. And get on the app, check out the Growth Club. Hope you have a great rest of your day and work smarter, not harder. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. visit us online at millennialdentist.com.